And may my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Most sermons on today's gospel focus on the reaction of the ruler of the synagogue to Jesus healing on the Sabbath. And his reaction is quite remarkable, though we have all known people just like him. There are six perfectly good days of the week for healing. How dare you do it on the seventh? Talk about rule-bound. This poor woman has been crippled for 18 years. Surely a religious leader would find it in his heart to rejoice with her, rather than scold both her and her healer. But the ruler of the synagogue is not who I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the woman who was healed. The King James Bible tells us that she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Luke is saying that for 18 years, she has been possessed by an evil spirit. And because of this spirit, she was severely crippled. She was bowed. She was bent down by this spirit. The tense of the verb that Luke uses to indicate her condition suggests that this is a condition that had come on quite suddenly. Hers was not a progressive illness that had developed over time. Nor should we assume that this was a condition related to old age. That was not as common back then as it is now. Life expectancy was shorter. It's possible that she was crippled as a result of an accident. But when New Testament writers speak of spirit possession, they are usually describing mental illness. Most likely some kind of psychological trauma was at the root of her condition. But whatever was the cause of her suffering, your heart has to go out to her. Certainly, Jesus' heart went out to her. Later, when he is rebuking the ruler of the synagogue, he describes her illness as having kept her trapped. She's been kept a prisoner by Satan for 18 years, he says. Now she is freed from her bonds. Just imagine. For 18 years, she has recognized people by their feet or by the style of their sandals, not by their faces. She has found people's homes by watching doorsteps, not doors. She has recognized the streets that she's walking along by the ditches beside them. She couldn't gaze at the stars or enjoy the shadows of trees against an evening sky. And when others have looked at her, all they have seen is an object defined by her condition, a crippled, bent over object. That is all the ruler of the synagogue saw when he looked at her. But Jesus really saw her. He empathized with her pain. It broke his heart to see her crippled like that. Jesus saw her as a beloved child of God in need of his healing touch. What relief she must have felt as the strength returned to the muscles in her back and she felt herself loosed from what had been holding her down. She unwinds, slowly at first, not daring to believe that this is happening to her. She gets to the point where her eyes are level with the eyes of others. Her neck is loosened. She looks up towards the sky. I can even see her raising her arms to the heavens. We're told that as she stood up straight, she began to praise God. In the lectionary, today's psalm is Psalm 103. It is the classic Jewish song of praise. And she may well have used its words to express her joy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives your iniquity, who heals you from all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. When that woman went to the synagogue that day, she had no idea that this was the day on which her 18-year ordeal would end. There's nothing in the story to suggest that she went looking to be healed. There's nothing in the story to suggest that she went to the synagogue because she'd heard that Jesus was going to be there. It simply turned out to be her day on which her bent body would be straightened. And all because Jesus saw her need. I suppose we have all known people who have been crippled by a spirit, who are bent over by the difficult experiences of their lives, who are unable to stand up straight. It's not difficult to see that bent overness can occur in many different ways. Yes, physical, but also emotional, vocational, financial, spiritual, relational. that little four-year-old boy from Aleppo that we've all been seeing on the front of our newspapers this week, that dazed, lost, puzzled look in his eyes, his little face covered with soot and blood. He shouldn't be sitting in an orange seat in an ambulance. He should be at home, safe in his own bed. That little boy is bent over. Or the 10 refugees who have competed these past 2 weeks under the Olympic flag because they, as refugees, have no national flag. Amongst them, and you've all seen this story, the Syrian teenage swimmer who fled with her sister after their home was bombed. And she ended up in the open water of the Aegean, pushing a stalled boat that was carrying 9 other people who could not swim. And she was pushing that boat towards the Greek island of Lesbos. That is being bent over. I found this on the internet by a woman called Lois. The account of the healing of the bent over woman has been meaningful to me for a long time. Perhaps I'm drawn to it because I am a woman, and a woman who has had difficulty standing up straight. My own first spiritual crisis began when I was about 16 years old, and I realized that I had grown taller than most of my peers. Being trapped in a 5'11" body for the rest of my life seemed to me a terrible curse. The clothes in the stores were too short for me. The shoe inventory stopped a half size smaller than my feet. I was taller than most of the boys, seriously limiting my hopes for a date. I disliked my body, and I was mad at God for doing it to me. As a headmaster, I saw those tall girls who developed terrible posture as a result of trying to shrink themselves. And I wanted to say to them, "Stand up straight, you're beautiful." But of course, you can't say that. They were literally bent over because of their discomfort with themselves. But it was in their spirits that they were really crippled. A bishop in our church retired early. I thought I knew him well. I discovered that he was bent over. I talked to him about 6 months after he retired and asked him cheerily, "So what's the best thing about being retired?" And I was saddened by his response. "Not feeling guilty about what I have failed or forgotten to do. Is there someone I should have visited or called? Is there something more I could have done to diffuse a crisis between a priest and his parish? Should I have acted more decisively or more mercifully?" He was crippled, bent over by a spirit of worry and guilt that he had not done enough during his ministry. The list can go on, and you all know it. There are people who are crippled and bent over because of addictions to drugs or alcohol. People who grieve. People who live in fear of the future. People who cannot find work. People who are coping with marital or family issues. What happened to the bent over woman in the gospel today is that Jesus touched her. And his touch freed her from the spirit that kept her crippled, enabling her to stand up straight. Jesus is still doing that. Perhaps it is a phrase in a sermon that we know was meant for us. Perhaps it's at the altar rail when we take the bread and wine of communion, and on this particular day, we have this deep sense of given for me. Perhaps we're alone and still, and the Spirit speaks quietly to our hearts. Perhaps it's through the love that we find in the fellowship of God's people. Jesus finds a way to lift us up. Maybe that we feel encouraged. It may be that we are reassured of God's presence and love for us. It may be that we find we're able to leave those worries in his hands. It may be that we are convinced that we can let go of our guilt and our sense of failure. It may be that we find a new determination to face our trials. Any one of those things can be the way that Jesus touches us and gives us strength to cope with the burdens that bend us over. There is a very unusual baptismal font in the chapel of Belmont College in North Carolina. Some of you may have seen it. It is a single white rock. It's rough. And then there is a shallow hollow for the water of baptism in the top of it. By local legend, the Indians used it first for ceremonial purposes, but then African slaves were forced to stand on it as they were being sold to the highest bidder. There is a plaque on the rock which simply says, "On this stone, men were sold into slavery. From this stone, men are now baptized into freedom." All who are bent over by whatever malicious spirit it is in their lives are slaves to that spirit. The faith of the church is that all who are touched by Jesus are offered freedom and the chance to stand up straight again. with hands and face lifted in praise to heaven. Amen.